Welcome to Truman's Matrix. A podcast built around the craziest headlines around the world. A production of Digging Deeper Media, owned by Hale Multimedia. Where you don't know who's watching who, or who's controlling you. All right, we are. It's a blast, man. I cannot believe that was a great segment.
Thank you.
That last segment was really good on healthy living, but it is now time to get real here on Truman's Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge conspiracies. So, when we started the planning for this week, we had something different planned because things happen so fast in the news cycle nowadays, and this bridge incident had not happened early in the week.
True.
What was it we were going to do? You remember?
Well,
Truman's Matrix, we were going to talk about
Nineveh.
The eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
The eclipse coming up. But then there was something else that popped up. Oh, the Texit. Texit is the ugly history of the Texit and the possibility that Texas could leave the Union. And that's pretty strange because we moved here 10, 11 years ago with the idea in mind, that we decided that we were going to go to some place where if bleep hit the fan, then we could leave this crazy United States without having to leave. And that would be with Texas if they split. So anyway, so Truman's Matrix is made up of all the craziest headlines from around the world. And although some of it is true, and a lot of it we witness with our very own eyes, there is something about some events where some people did some things. Unexplainably. So we're going to dig into the bridge conspiracies, because during the week at about 1:30 in the morning here, Central Time, I'm watching different obscure accounts, and I'm seeing this live video posted. And I'm going, what in the world just happened? And the video by the poster was labeled as a PSYOP. And I was like, what are they talking about? Why is it a PSYOP? This looks like a real event. It looks like a bridge has collapsed in Baltimore, Maryland. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that report. So I dug into that, and it just got stickier and stinkier after that. So we decided we cannot do these other episodes we had planned. We're going to have to put off the eclipse until next week, which will still be before the eclipse takes place. But tonight, we are going to look at the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore, Maryland, and all of the strange things surrounding this real event, but possibly a black swan, false flag, hoax, whatever you want to call it, PSYOP. This is why we are looking at it in Truman's Matrix.
Right.
Was it really just an accident? Let's take a look. How about the timeline at first here?
Yes. What actually happened on the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore? Well, let's review what happened. First, at 12:39 a.m., now these are Eastern time numbers.
Eastern, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The ship departed. At 1:07, the ship entered the channel.
Mm-hmm.
At 1:24, VDR sensor data stopped recording.
Okay, so this is the black box?
Yes.
Okay, so the black box just decided to stop recording. Remember, the black box is the thing that's supposed to survive all power outages, all damages. It can fall out of the sky, it can get blown up at sea, it could be at space. The black box is the one thing that's going to survive everything, right?
Right.
And it just shut off?
Right.
Okay, keep going.
The VDR audio continued recording, being on a redundant power source, is what this is saying. At 1:26... the VDR resumed recording sensor data. No redundancy.
Is this video data recorder?
A video data,
is that what VDR stands for?
I don't know. At 1:26, the pilot made a general VHF for tugs in the vicinity to assist.
Okay, so this is where I have the problem. And do we have the video of the timeline that I gave you, the one from navigation? Right? So we'll see a video later in this report over here. Yeah, we're going to see that here in just a little bit. We are going to see how that would probably be deemed a logical mistake to have the tugboats drop off before they got into open waters.
Okay.
That just didn't make sense that, as you just read here, it said that the pilot
made a general VHF
for tugs in the vicinity to assist. Why did they need to assist if they were taking him through the channel? That was because later in this video, you're going to see that they were told to drop off. And when they dropped off, they were then too far away to return to the scene to get him straightened out.
At 1:27, the pilot ordered the dally to drop the port anchor and ordered additional steering commands. And then the pilot issued a radio call reporting the dally had lost all power. At this time, MDTA duty officer radioed two of their units that were already on the bridge because there was construction and ordered them to close traffic. At 1:29, the ship made contact with the bridge and the dally pilot made contact with the Coast Guard to report the bridge down.
All within about 90 seconds, they say. I've heard a report that the police department traffic control had it shut down within 90 seconds.
Yeah, so let's just watch this as a review real fast before we move on to that other one. So see how he's coming around the corner here.
Okay, and this is real time on this one, right?
Right.
Okay, so he's moving at a pretty good clip for real time. There's power loss number one.
I think they actually do speed it up. Yeah, I think it speeds up here in a little bit.
Okay, well, so disregard the actual time of the...
There's a recovery.
...speed. We're just looking at the impact here.
And the smoke coming out of the stack.
Which that can be explained as well.
Okay, a second power loss.
And how hard is it turning there?
It looks it really turns.
Why didn't
really
it just,
hard.
Why didn't it just keep drifting that way?
I don't know.
And now it's too late. The last car got across the bridge, but you'll see the flashing lights. Those were workers on the bridge that were most of them foreigners. They were working on filling potholes, and they didn't get off fast enough.
Dang. All right, so let's watch the ship. How did a ship destroy Baltimore Key Bridge?
What I was talking about. Yeah, was this the video that's going to explain how the path went? So you'll see what I was talking about earlier.
Right.
At around 1:27 in the morning of the 26th of March, 2024, the Singaporean-flagged container vessel Dali collided with the Key Bridge, which carries Route 695 across the 2.5-kilometer span of the Patapsco River in Baltimore, Maryland. The impact caused a chain reaction leading to the bridge's complete collapse within seconds. So, what happened? How could a ship so easily collapse a bridge that stood in place for almost 50 years? Throughout the evening of the 25th of March 2024, the container vessel Dali was alongside her berth at the southern end of the Seagrip Marine Terminal, which is a massive facility in Baltimore capable of accommodating some of the world's biggest ships. The Dali, for example, is around 300 meters long, with a gross tonnage of just under 100,000 tons. Late in the evening, she completed the final checks for departure and was ready to get underway for her next passage towards Colombo, Sri Lanka. It was a lovely evening with light winds from an east by north direction and minimal tidal flow as it was approaching low tide. Shortly after midnight, now on the 26th of March, she made fast two tugs, one forward and one aft, and with their assistance came bodily to port off the berth. Once she had opened to a ship's width or so from the quay, she came ahead on her engines to get some water flow over the rudder and prepare for the turn to port towards the main channel. As the speed picked up to 3 or 4 knots or so, the two tugs lay alongside her on the port side and just ran with her as she completed her turn. By 1:10, the turn was complete and Dali entered the main channel, at which point the tugs were stood down so that she could continue to pick up speed. When you're working with tugs, you need to ensure you keep your speed down low because tugs are at massive risk of capsizing if you go too fast. Check out my video about tugging tugs if you want to know a little more about that. Anyway, with the tug stood down, Dali continued following the channel outbound, lining up for the main span under the Key Bridge, which is the only place large enough for these sort of massive vessels to fit under. She continued to increase speed, reaching around 8.7 knots by 1:26, just before the bridge. But then something went wrong. She started turning to starboard, just around the same point where the Curtis Bay Channel joins the main channel. But why? Were there some interactive effects, maybe? For example, if your starboard bow is no longer subject to pressure from a bank, it could cause a turn to starboard. If that did happen, though, the ship's bridge is full of professionals who are more than capable of correcting it with some engine and rudder movements, so was there something else stopping them? If, for example, the ship suffered some sort of power failure at that point, you would expect it to veer off under the effects of interaction at exactly the position where the underwater profile of the channel changes, like where another channel joins from the side. Either way, regardless of a reason for leaving the channel, at that point the crew knew there was a serious problem. The tugs that had been stood down from the earlier maneuver sprang back to life and started heading back towards the Dali at full speed. But unfortunately, it was just too late. She was now so close to the bridge and carrying so much momentum that there was nothing anyone could do. At 1:29 local time on the 26th of March, she struck the southern tower, which just didn't stand a chance against more than 100,000 tons of vessel and cargo traveling at 7.5 knots. The collapse of the southern tower led to the collapse of spans on both sides of the river, which in turn led to the collapse of further spans as the chain reaction travelled along the bridge. 15 minutes later, at 1:43, the first tug arrived on scene, but by then the damage was already done. From that point on, the priority was search and recovery. Now, clearly, I'm releasing this video within hours of the event, so we don't yet know how the story will end. We also don't have all the facts yet, so everything I've been through is just my interpretation of what I've seen based on the information that's been released to the public. The cause of the turn to starboard is unknown, but interaction effects could be the reason behind it if there was no way for the crew to counter them. A blackout could be a reason for the crew being unable to counter the turn, and it would explain why the tugs responded before the ship hit the bridge. That could also explain the plume of black smoke you can see in news reports and the lack of exhaust smoke coming from the ship at the moment of impact. As I say though, at this point in time, we just don't know, so I encourage you all to keep an eye out for the official report when it comes so that we can all learn from what happened and attempt to prevent the same sort of thing happening again in the future.
That was from Casual Navigation. And some of that does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that, and I thought that would be a really good one to take a look at, because the biggest sign there that was a potentially hoax event or something that happened on purpose,
mm-hmm.
was that those tugs, in a lot of people's estimation who have worked in the Navy and on ships, they are saying that those tugs should have accompanied them through the most dangerous portion, which would have been that most expensive and oldest bridge that they have to get to before they're into clear waters. Mm-hmm. So why did they decide to stop and be so far away from the ship that they couldn't make a correction?
Well, this guy's reasoning was that it had to pick up speed and the tugs couldn't keep up with them, but...
No. That, I'm sorry. I think that's misinterpreted. The tugs actually are faster. They can go, but they can't go too fast while they're attached to the ship.
Right. That's what I meant.
Right. So that ship did not need to pick up speed until it's in clear waters.
I agree. I don't know why it had to
pick up
speed.
It was in a hurry.
Yes.
It was in a hurry to hit that damn bridge.
Well, the FBI investigation into the event found that the voice recording from the black box doesn't have any data for the time frame of the accident. Let's listen to this dude.
Yeah, that is the most fishy part. You should not ever not have a black box.
Correct.
This is probably the most compelling evidence that this shipping accident, this bridge collapse, this Francis Scott Key bridge collapse is sus, super sus, probably an act of terrorism, and probably should be investigated. Of course, it won't be, because the people that would do the investigation are the people that probably caused it. But this is the most compelling evidence. You're looking at it right there. The voice box recorder suddenly stopped working. Just so you know, I come from the aviation industry. I worked in the Marine Corps as a air crew mechanic and crew chief, been to wars, helicopters. My dad was a pilot for 50 years. My grandfather was a pilot. My uncles are pilots. I mean, I know this industry, and the voice box recorder, it is not subject to anything that runs on standard electricity. It runs on its own battery and it is bulletproof. So if it's missing information, that is the most compelling evidence that they're covering something up. Now, I'm not a boat captain. I can't explain why the boat suddenly turned. I don't know what happened to the rudder. I know it lost power twice. I'm not going to talk about the charges that they're saying that went off. I'm not going to talk about the birds and all that weird stuff. All I know is the voice box recorder should be accurate. It should provide all the information on any accident, unless it wasn't an accident.
Bom, bom, bom.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and you know that hard drives nowadays, the SSDs, solid state drives, they mm-hmm. don't need power at all.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just look at your thumb drive.
True.
Look at that old thing you have in your pocket, many people.
Right. Mm-hmm. The VDR sensor data was missing 2 minutes of data.
Mm, 2 minutes, only 2 minutes. It's only 2 minutes.
It's only 2 minutes,
right? It was 99.999% uptime.
It records critical information related to the operation of the vessel, like ship speed, engine RPMs, ship course and heading, rudder angle, as well as information on the ship's communications with other vessels, the ship's crew, and any external systems or equipment. It sure doesn't look good for them.
Well, you know, I love Tom Brady, but it's kind of like that cell phone. He mashed it, and so they can't get the data off of it, and so no charges can actually be filed.
Right.
Or like the thing that the wipe with a cloth, you know with Mrs. Clinton.
Right. Well, Laura Logan is on fire about this. Let's listen
to
her.
So am I. Let's go. Come
on. I really want to emphasize, Steve, strongly, we are in an undeclared war right now. And these are not my words. I'm not making this up. This is coming from people who really know and who ordinarily would never ever talk to me. But we've reached a point in this city. I think, you know, if you look at the quote of one of the intelligence analysts that I spoke to, right? I'm just going to read it to you very, very briefly, okay? It's not long, and it really sums it up. He said, they have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, a lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free-fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. And I would urge people, watch very carefully the people that tell you that this attack doesn't matter. Stop following them on Twitter. Discount everything they say because they're either totally ignorant and useless, or they are a plant. And there's a lot of Anons out there, right? And I follow a lot of Anons. And I appreciate and respect the work that they're doing. But we're in a moment of truth now. We have very, very little time. When you start to shut down, you know, hazardous materials and the shipment of fuel, you know what that means. It means everything goes up. It means food goes down. You know, the access to food and critical infrastructure, that means that goes down, prices go up. This is catastrophic for the American people, and it's catastrophic for this country. But it is a financial and economic attack. If you're not going to see tanks rolling down the street, stop looking at the type of, you know, conventional war and saying to yourself, well, if I don't see this, then it means we're okay. If people need to understand what they're looking at. And for those people who say, well, you know, the FBI, isn't it interesting? Christopher Wray just put this big counterterrorism guy, you know, he put him in charge of the FBI office of Baltimore just yesterday. And this is the guy that's out in front of the cameras already. Well, isn't that amazing, right? Do you believe in coincidences? I don't. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. None of this happens by chance. This happens by design. And the problem that we have is that people in power in this country are complicit in the breakdown of American infrastructure and America's defenses. And Steve.
Yeah, she went on, but we had to cut her off there. That was so, so full of truth there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many points. I want to go back and talk about it, but we don't have time to go through everyone. Just take it for our word here. That there wasn't anything that she's misleading anybody on. This is a fundamental transformation of America, and we need to stop it because war is not tanks rolling down the street. It is in 100 different ways, and all the manifestos of the different national leaders that have led in communism and in Marxism throughout the world, they can tell you exactly the game plan, and they are going through it checkmark by checkmark by checkmark. And one of them, at the very end, is the terroristic effects of fire, how people feel so hopeless,
right,
and so desperate when they're overwhelmed by fires. And so watch for so much more of that, but I'd better let you continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there, people are attacking Laura Logan for what she just said there. And she posted this on Twitter: for those who know and understand what happened in Baltimore, the truth is obvious. They can attack me all they want. These are the same people who said Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation.
Yep.
And Joe Biden won the 2020 election.
Oh, that's fools.
Yeah. So there are others who are sticking up for her.
Me too.
So how will this collapse affect our economy going forward? This guy has an idea.
My apologies in advance, but you can't tell me that this looks like an accident. I mean, take a look at the angle in which it takes in order to hit that bridge. Now, I decided to ask artificial intelligence program called Copilot from Microsoft Bing's search engine what the effects of this bridge collapse will have on the economy and the surrounding areas. And the answers should be very alarming, but also not surprising. Check this out. An average of 4,900 trucks per day carry $28 billion worth of goods. Those are now going to need to be rerouted due to the bridge collapse. And the greatest impact is expected on hazardous materials such as diesel fuel. And we're already having problems with gas prices. This is only going to make things worse and set things back as it pertains to gas prices. But there's more, of course. The bridge plays a crucial role in the nation's infrastructure and the supply chain. The disruption is going to have long-lasting effects. Baltimore serves as the largest entry point in the U.S. for large agriculture and construction equipment, including tractors, farming combines, bulldozers, and heavy-duty trucks bound for the Midwest, the farmland of America. Let's visit that now. Because this collapse comes just during the peak of planting season in the Midwest, and once again, it's going to affect the farming and the food. Additionally, construction activities also pick up in colder climates as the ground thaws. The economic impact extends beyond immediate costs, potentially affecting businesses, jobs, and regional stability. But there's more. The bridge's collapse affects the entire supply chain, including the movement of agricultural equipment, fertilizers, and other essential materials. Farmers may face challenges in receiving necessary supplies, leading to potential delays in planting, maintenance, and harvesting. The economic repercussions extend beyond immediate costs, potentially affecting crop yields, prices, and again, regional stability. I want to hear from you what you think about this. No, not this predictive programming, but I want to know what you think about this taking place last night and what it's going to do to the country moving forward.
Wow. So I'll tell you,
yeah,
from an agricultural standpoint.
Yes.
First of all, let's get rid of the dramatic music behind it.
Right.
Right. That makes the story so much more dramatic, right?
It does.
This isn't about drama here. We you know, we love excitement and we want to report the truth, and oftentimes that's full of adrenaline, but it's not about the pomp. It's about the facts. And
right.
So get rid of the dramatic music. Okay, so cut that out. Then let's look at the facts. Okay, so he's probably correct on many of those things that it will have an effect. Okay, but again, this is the United States of America.
Yes.
And it is, I don't know, 36 million miles square or something. I don't know. It's a lot of miles, a lot of square
yes.
miles. And this is a 1.5 mile, 2 mile section that connects a couple of islands.
One port. And there's several others in this country.
And there are lots and lots and lots and lots of important things that go on in that port, I'm sure. But in reality, if there were a war in any other country or even ours, bridges like this would be taken out everywhere.
Right.
And it wouldn't, like, be the end of the world. You would just, you deal with it, you reroute, and you rebuild.
Right.
And I'm not saying that this is not a big deal, and I'm not, you know, like Laura was saying, we're not just going to ignore this and say, oh, that was a bad disaster. We understand the reason for it, so we're not backing down there. But when we look at Baltimore as a port itself, there are other ways to get those goods across there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to cover those different ways from, you know, shipping it across or flying it over or rebuilding the bridge quickly, which they could do, or they could use some sort of alternative type of bridge, like a flotation bridge or something. The Army Corps of Engineers has done something like this. You know, they've done things like this. So it's not like it's the end of the world for that area. And they could reroute. So my point in bringing all that up is that this is... you discovered the reason right there. Mm-hmm. I have to give you credit. I'm not coming up with this because I did all the research. You did this research, you found this. But if we go back to that beginning of what we said there, it was the fact that this will affect, most importantly, hazardous materials, including diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel is the number one thing used by truckers.
Yep.
Truckers were surrounding and terrorizing, basically, in their eyes, Washington, D.C. Do we know how close Washington, D.C. is to Baltimore? I was there. I remember it was awful darn close. Maybe, let's see, are we looking at this here? Maybe we can pull that up and find out just how far that is apart. But I think they're pretty close.
Yeah, probably.
I truly believe this is the government's response in a kind of a blind way, a subliminal way. It is their response against the truckers to say, okay, you want to cause problems in D.C.? You don't get here. We're cutting off your route.
Well, maybe.
And we're cutting off your diesel fuel. Or going to make that much higher or harder to get.
Or it's just our foreign enemies trying to weaken us even more.
Oh,
either way.
Our internal foreign enemies.
Yes, we've got internal foreign enemies.
Yeah,
that
like
is true.
Like the ones who are married to foreigners in Congress.
Well, as he stated, it's the most common way to transport hazardous materials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? There were hazardous materials on that cargo vessel, and they have now breached. 56 containers of hazardous materials fell overboard, and now it's in the water.
Oh, really? Hazardous
nice, huh?
materials went into the water?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was I just freaking saying? And look at this. It's only 38 minutes away.
Yeah.
It is the bridge to D.C.
Yeah, it
Holy
is.
Holy crap.
So Cat Turd said the bridge collapsed at 1:30 a.m. By 8 a.m. the next morning, all officials had done an investigation and determined it was just an accident. 4 hours later, Biden hit the mic and said, taxpayers will pay for the full rebuild. Nothing to see here. Pull my finger.
I'll tell you what. This is one of the 10 signs. We did a podcast probably in the first year. It says the 10 signs of a faked event. If you just Google that. Did I say that word? I'm sorry. Just go to your favorite search engine and look up 10 signs of a faked event. Digging Deeper podcast, and you'll see that one of the very first things that is so easy to see on a hoax, faked, or psyop event is that the investigation is determined prior and closed before you even have 24 hours gone by.
Right.
Like the bombers in Boston. The first one that opened my eyes was, how in the world did they know these two kids with a backpack in a crowd of 10,000 people at the Boston Marathon that they did it within 30 minutes. How they figure that out?
Yeah.
How they figure that out? And plus, I watched some of those videos, and I watched the second guy, the young kid, I watched him walk around the corner with his backpack on. So therefore, he didn't even do it.
Right.
So this is just ridiculous when they come up with these things where the investigation is done. Bingo. Right there. Good find.
FBI, Biden, and Buttigieg finished their investigation.
I'm not very happy right now.
Finished their investigation in less than 7 hours and claimed there was no cyber attack. And although the lights went out twice and it steered directly into the pylon. If you believe this investigation, I've got an underwater bridge to sell you, DC Drano said.
Well,
So, of course, Biden said that the taxpayers are going to pay. Now, I recall that if you accidentally run over a stop sign or hit something, you know, public property, you get charged and you have to replace that, right?
Yeah, that was public property built by the city, right?
Right.
There in the 1970s, I think. And so, yes, this bridge was public property, right? And
if this bridge is public property,
and
correct?
And if you break it,
you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you get fined.
I know of a specific young woman who actually ran into a light pole and had to pay for it.
Well, I know a specific young man who ran into the edge of a guardrail. Mm-hmm. Didn't hurt anybody, but got a ticket.
Yep.
Yeah. 1989 in a blue Charger.
Well, this one was just a couple years ago, but still, I'm just saying that it's still on the books, right? So if you break it, you pay for it?
That's right, should be.
Why are we going to pay for it? Why is the U.S. government paying for the Baltimore Bridge and not the company that knocked it down?
Or the insurance.
Or their insurance,
or the country, or the country that owns the damn vessel.
Right? I think the company that owns the cargo ship and their insurance company should be burdened with paying all the damages, not the taxpayers. It's just ridiculous. It's just another way to filter money somewhere else, I'm sure.
It reminds me of Christmas in Nashville about 4 years ago when all of a sudden the mayor of the town is standing up there and he's saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Our budget is just really not going to sustain this blah, 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 blah. You know, and it was during COVID, and they were just begging for money. And then, bam, zap, all of a sudden, an EMF comes out of the sky, and AT&T has a black mark down the side of the building, and they called this an RV explosion by a suicidal guy.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, money flowed into the city, and that cheese-eating grin shithead came on and said, yeah, I guess we'll have to have a warning at the beginning of this one. that dork came on. And he said, oh, our city's going to be fine now, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, just on a side note, the chief of police or the captain at the time there in Nashville, he's moving to Nebraska and he's going to be the police chief in Alliance.
Well, so let's dig a little deeper into the company owns the Dally.
That's because this is digging deeper after all.
Right.
Not on the surface.
Right.
Okay.
The vessel is owned by Singapore's Grace Ocean Partners and managed by Synergy Marine Group. Synergy Marine Group managed the ship that hit Baltimore Bridge and has a strong business relationship with
China.
It specializes in remote system monitoring.
Oh, which, by the way, remote system monitoring was one of those things that SRS was also.
The
company that got zapped at AT&T,
the
company that stored the data for the election, they were specializing in remote data and remote control kind of stuff like that too. So that's interesting that you said that.
Well, Chuck Callisto shared this one. The bombshell report, CCP whistleblowers reveal China has the technology to cut power off on ships.
Oh, yeah.
So let's watch this guy here.
Oh, yeah. Nice discovery. But I think we kind of knew that, huh? This is awesome.
It's making a complete turn towards the bridge. And I thought that was odd.
In 2017, the yacht Lady May lost control in the Hudson River. The technology used by the CCP is the remote towing technology, which can cut off your power locally and makes you lose control. This technology is too easy for the CCP. The MH370 incident involves Meng Jianju and Jiang Yinheng, It's a murder for silencing the witness using aircraft remote towing technology. If the CCP can remotely tow away MH370, it will be able to remotely tow away any aircrafts. Now the United States knows that the whistleblowers' movement holds the core secrets and intelligence of the CCP.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? That's a pretty good find there, Ms. Andrea.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. So, does this change your view on who is responsible? He says? Mm-hmm.
It might.
All right.
And, of course, last but not least, you know, the government says they're going to be paying for it, right?
Yeah, well, it says we're going to be paying for it. The government doesn't pay for crap because the government is the people.
Right. Well, they say it could take up to 10 years to rebuild the bridge.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Another scare tactic, folks.
But we built the Hoover Dam in 5 years. We built the Empire State Building in one.
What? Oh, well, just get Trump to do it. He built a ship the size of that bridge.
Well,
in
you know,
one
it
year.
Was a couple generations removed already. And, you know, they were hard workers. But,
oh, yeah, we don't have any hard workers anymore. We have to get AI robots to build this dang thing.
Yeah, I know. And
I say drive around or find a different route or fly over or something. Maybe there'll be an aviation boost.
Maybe. I don't know. But the intelligence agency leaders warned us of impending threat on January 31st. So they even knew it.
They predict it, usually.
They predicted it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So that's that.
Just like on on March 2nd, there was a lady that was prophesying that there will be a bridge that will collapse and you will see it on your news.
Right. Mm. I didn't even include that on here.
Mm, interesting. Well, we better wrap it up because that was a long episode. But that was really good research and more than we thought we would find. But that's why we call it Truman's Matrix.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Truman's Matrix, a podcast built around the craziest headlines around the world, a production of Digging Deeper Media, owned by Hale Multimedia. You can find Digging Deeper with Brian Hale on your favorite podcast network, or visit all of our podcasts under one roof at diggingdeeper.us. And one more thing.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Hey everyone, this is Brian Hale. If you've heard this program before, you know I have been offering website help for many years. In fact, we've been in the business for over 20, and we'd love to help you for anything website related, even if you just need some advice. It's free. Email support@halemultimedia.com or call 940-224-6315. Portfolio, pricing, and contacts all on halemultimedia.com.